And so I'm turning to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and I read verse 13. So 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 13. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. I was just thinking about the three greatest possessions. These three, how precious they are. And one of the really surprising things of our times is that when we are thinking of the kind of things to get, the kind of things to strive to get, well, we think very little about things like virtue, things like things that brings us near to God, and things like this. These things seem to be far from our hearts, which is very unfortunate, because as this chapter demonstrates, every gain, everything anybody possesses is really temporary, not only temporary, even in this life, they may be good to some extent, and then eventually they turned out to be not as profitable as we thought. And so these are greatest possessions, says the apostle. They are most precious. They are the greatest possessions because we will never lose them if we possess them. We will never be lost. They are indestructible. They cannot be destroyed if they are ours. And we know that we only have them in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll explain that very shortly. But these three are only obtainable in the Lord Jesus Christ. And once we have them, they are ours forever. Nothing, no one can take them away from us. And also, they are wonderfully free. Though most precious, precious above everything else, and yet they are so free. And so we may easily, by the grace of God, possess the three great possessions, my dear friends, and I hope to be able to explain and show why they are so important. And you might mean, sir, in here, and also, in your dear, in here, na ebruning in also, scripture catch and say, radia some catch and say, yinya, obeying to me, and yin free and same, bebeing to me, and same or a water, bebea, nimpa, bebom body, so benyano, say, and for so cry, and for same break a crara, it to be asino, now if you cry, shed out, and young for so catchy be a pubu. And so, we yet there, iradiasum catcher and say, or more yet there, to me, and free. And all the three go together. They are often called three divine sisters, because they go together. You really cannot possess one and not the others. They go hand in hand. All of them must be possessed. And in fact, once Christ gives them to us, all of them are given. If Christ gives me any one of them, the others are sure to be given also. And so they are so precious. So these are they, and they are here in verse 13 there for us. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. I will come to that part why charity is called the greatest of these. But he tells us that all these three abide, they remain. That's what it means. They continue, they endure, they will not be taken away, they will always be here. And so this is what we want to possess, oh my dear friends. Well, I've not gotten anywhere at all, but what are the kind of things do you want to possess? What are the kind of things you really want to have? We will endlessly commend to you these that are here. Scripture telling us that they are such great possessions. The first is faith. What is faith? Unfortunately, people think that faith begins with me. People think that faith is I desiring something very strongly and then really telling myself, yes, by all means, I will have it. No matter what happens, I'm going to have it. Well, that's not faith. That's not what we call faith. Simply wishful thinking. This is simply a strong wish, a strong desire. But that's not faith. Faith always begins with God and what God has said. And so what is faith? Faith is simply so much taking what God has said serious and so embracing it so that you are willing to rest your life upon that. You are willing to say, because God has said this is what it is, this is what I hold on, and this is what will shape my life and thinking and my idea about everything in the world. So that whatever anybody else said, I say, but what has God also said? And where would I know what God has said? Of course, from His Word. also. So faith begins with God and what is said. As if I have faith, I say God is true. God can be believed. God can be trusted. And he is the only trustworthy one, and perfectly so, because he is God. And so faith is such a wonderful thing. Faith makes me truly regard God to be trustworthy as a successor. I am not suspicious of him. I am not thinking, oh, but what if God, deserts me? What if God never keeps his promise or something like that? No, faith says God is absolutely trustworthy. I can depend upon him. Everything he has said, he will do it because he is God. He has the power to bring it to pass, and he has the will, the willingness to carry it through also. And so faith begins with God. We must remember this especially in these our days. And so he that believes, he that has faith, humbly takes what God has said seriously and embraces it with all his heart. And so, you see, Gideon, Bibia, what do I dream after so? Now we come to Dindin, so we said, and then you're going to come to Bibia, and then you to say, oh, person, you're going to be, na, then I don't forget. Besides that, we are sure. So, oh, Njidi, Nsabeka. There have been yesterday in your friend Njidi. Njidi is sure to say, Nkupon Afa. Nia Okachen who said, Nkupon, you near meet me at Genuidi, Namatrinus. Say, Nkupon Kasa, meet me at happiness to say, Ayam Papa, Sanet, yes, Sanet, Bebum. And men from a non cara, a man of a day, and coupon con acan, and then a danny, dear me pesa me, dear me de me, me need answer to so, and you dear me pesa, a dandy my brebunina. No, it's easy to say with your lips, I believe in God, I have faith in God, but this is the essential part of faith. If I have faith in God, what is said shapes my worldview. Only what he has said shapes my worldview. The things I accept, the things I don't accept, the things I believe, the things I'm willing to embrace, they are only those things that God has said. If I have faith, friends, why is it a great possession? Why should we be interested in possessing faith? Well, the first thing is that's the only worthy response to your Creator. Otherwise, you're living in suspicion of him. You're looking upon God and saying, I really don't think I can really trust you. I really don't think I can really depend upon you. The things that you say, I really think that I know better than you. And I'm not really going to take that, because you may have made a very serious mistake. You see how terrible it is. And so, if I will not have faith in God, I end up living in suspicion. And in fact, without faith, I do not have my spiritual faculties functioning. What do we mean? If I do not have faith, I do not know how to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because faith enables me to see him, because I see what is said about him, because I hear what the Bible says about him, and I embrace it, and I depend upon that. And if I do not want to have faith, or if I don't want faith, then I don't come to the Lord Jesus Christ. What the Bible said about him, I simply dismiss. I throw aside. And so without faith, I do not come into spiritual life. Without faith, I do not come into contact with God. I will never know him, because God has only revealed himself from the scriptures. And we take him out as well. What he said in the Bible, we embrace, we rest our hopes upon, and by his mercy, when he works in our hearts, he brings us to truly know for ourselves and prove him that he is our God, and that we can truly live our lives in his hands. And so, if I will not have faith, what I would do is that I cannot really function spiritually. You cannot really pray. I know that you may go to that beach or that park and say all kinds of things. You can't really pray if you do not have faith. You cannot really trust him. If you don't trust him, how do you call upon him? I am aware that when people are in trouble, they cry out to God. Why? Because we all have instincts that he is there, and that we all recognize the fact that we have to deal with him. But the fact that we don't really take him serious comes up when the trouble is over, and then we go back to our own lifestyles once again. And so, without faith, if I do not have faith, what happens is that I cannot really pray. In fact, child, you will never know real answers to prayer. You may try some vain prayer, but you will never know answers to prayer. You will never be brought to see God answer you. God mercifully may bestow some things upon you, as He bestows upon all His creation, but to know Him answering your prayer as a child, and to deal kindly with you as a child, you'll be a stranger to that. And so without faith, you really lose that. So when you say, Gideon, you know, first of all, So when you say, Gideon, yeah, I will read him one. You basically only say, Uka went to me. It's answer. You be ready, Jesus Christ, and share it with Gideon. Friends, you know how faith comes? And this is why you realize you have faith or not. Faith comes by listening to the Bible, and the Bible showing me who I am. And I take it seriously. And I am burdened by that. And I'm concerned by this. The Bible tells me who I am, and I take it seriously. And I embrace that. And it moves me, and I'm alarmed, I'm troubled. The Bible says that I am a sinner, for example, and I take that seriously. Then, if I am anxious about my state before God, then it is God who, through His Holy Spirit, enables me to see what the Lord Jesus Christ has done as exactly what I need to cater for my sin problem. You see, this is the beginning of faith. If this doesn't come, faith doesn't begin at all. Faith starts by me seeing that the Bible tells me my condition, and I'm troubled. I'm alone. If I'm indifferent about that, the Bible tells me who I am. I am a rebel against God. I am a cut off from God. I say, I don't care. I don't mind. Well, there's no way you will come to faith. When I take that seriously, when I think upon this and say, this is what the Bible portrays me to be, then I begin to be anxious about that. Then, when God is pitying me, showing me mercy because of my sin, He shows me His Son, what the Lord Jesus Christ has done on the cross of Calvary. And I rest my hopes upon Him. And I yield my life to Him. I say, oh Lord, I have nothing. All I have is sin. Forgive my sins, wash me, because the Savior died on the cross of Calvary for needy sinners like me. For His sake, receive me and wash me. And if I really mean this and I am sincere, then the Lord will save me. That very moment, the seed of faith is sown into the heart. You see, if you've not come to the Lord as a sinner, you can never have faith in Him. Faith, genuine faith, begins at a point when I come as a needy sinner, troubled at my state, and crying to the Lord for help and blessing. And so it is, my dear friends. And so faith is the first one. It's the greatest possession. Do you have faith? You have to ask yourself, do you have faith? Do you take God seriously? Have you ever come to a point where what God has said about me, about you, alarms you? You take it seriously. You can't brush it aside. And then God has enabled you to see that though I may be a sinner and the worst of sinners, yet the Lord Jesus Christ died for needy sinners. And you have come to Him. Yes, Gideba and Sani Gideba no. Mishasi se mi fede nyanko pon kafa miya mihu inyibremu. Mihu ni se. Said in Yanko Pankafa Mihuno, a year, dear Yeni Repa, Semi Pietro in Chen, say, and Famiwa, of course, won't be Radi Hoji Demo, me Famini Bremo, Nafi, me be Radi Jose, Mia, me Tibia Tiseno, me Peso Homemobro, say, I mean Homemobro, Joy, and he said,
ọbẹ̀mà mẹ́hùn ní ma ti asídi yéésù kristo yẹ ẹ mẹ́ni mọ̀ yẹ fọ́ ni na ẹni na ẹ má jí de ṣá sẹ́ ọ ma kọ́ mọ́ faith begins with resting my life and hopes upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, do you have faith? Do you know, you may not know this, faith is the greatest key any man may possess. It is the greatest access key because it brings us to God. It brings us to have Him as our Father and to relate to Him as our Father and to prove Him as our Father. Do you have faith? If you do not have faith, you have no contact with God, because we have contact with Him through faith, and that's a wonderful thing. The second is here, verse 13 still. And now abideth faith, hope, charity. Hope is the second one. What is hope? We simply said a hope is a glorious and happy anticipation. It is something I look out for, but in the Bible it always has to do with God, as what God has promised. We normally use hope in a general sense. Oh, I hope that by next month Ghana's economy will be better. Something like that. I hope that by next month I'll be able to find a job. Well, these are the general uses of it. But in the Bible, it always has connection with God and what God has promised. So hope in the Bible means it is an anticipation that God will fulfill every promise he's ever made. Every one of them will be carried out. Hope. So you see, hope and faith have connection. I take God seriously, as He said in His Word, faith. And then as I look forward that everything He said, He will bring it to pass, that's hope. Now again, it has something also in connection every time. Not the general thing that will bring it to pass. It includes that, but it has a specific part. It has to do with that day. The day when the Lord Jesus Christ will make all things new. The day of the resurrection, when we will be glorified. We are one of those who have come to the Lord Jesus Christ. So hope has that connection always. It has connection with God's promise. It also has a more specific connection to that grand blessing that will be given to those who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ when the Lord Jesus Christ appears. The Apostle Paul often calls that day. He fixes his eye upon that and says, that day. He looks for that day when he will be glorified in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hope. Hope is also given to us in Christ. Because how can you hope in a new world that is coming when you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ? How can you hope in the future and be sure that you'll be supported and strengthened and helped without any faith in God, you see? So they go hand in hand. Hope. Hope is a precious thing, my dear friends. Now, you know that hope sustains living. Generally speaking, hope really sustains life. We say that it is the hopelessness of hell that makes it even more grievous. Because in hell, there's no hope of ever being a relief from the sad conditions there and the miserable state there. There's no hope that the situation will ever change. There's, in fact, that ever worsening situation there. Hope gives us strength. Don't you realize that? When you are a student and you're going through hard times with studies and you have to sometimes struggle through your studies, well, what keeps you going? Hope. One day I'll finish this course. One day I'll begin work. One day I'll do something else. And then all these things that I've struggled through may begin to pay off perhaps. Hope keeps us going. Why? What about a mother raising up a child? What is it that keeps her going? She's struggling, trying to breastfeed, and do all this kind of thing, carry these children to school. Hope is that which keeps her going. One day this child may grow. She will not forever be a little one that will depend upon me. One day perhaps she'll become independent and be able to live his own life and perhaps be a support to the family or something like that. Hope keeps us going. In fact, my dear friends, without hope, our lives are very pointless. In fact, that's what moved a doctor to really seek the Lord. You may know the one who discovered what we call anesthesia, the drug they were using for surgery to put people to sleep. in order to perform operations on them. The man who first discovered this, Sir James Simpson, was a very learned man and well honored in England in those days. And as a doctor, he had gone to the ward to attend to his patients. And this woman, a very devout lady, she was a Christian. And it is always beautiful how Christians really, when they are true and walk with their Lord, feel that they have everything. In fact, even than perhaps the wealthiest person in the world, you know. So there's this woman there, a poor woman, and this doctor, Sir James Simpson, was the one who attends to this woman. So the doctor had come to attend to this woman. This woman had been looking at this doctor going around the ward, looking upon all the patients, and then he came to her. And then this woman, after the doctor has finished observing, doing all those basic things, the woman asked the sir, "So, after you have finished all this, when life no longer allows you to perform all these things, what will you use your energies for again? What will be the use of all your energies?" And it struck him as he began to think. In other words, do you look into the future for something more than merely earning and spending? Do you look into this future for something more than merely having earthly honors and being exalted? You know, Sir James Simpson was so honored that he even performed a sage, I think, on one of the queens or the family, one of them. So he was a very, very influential man. And he took this lady to challenge him. When all your gifts are done, and you finish all this work, what else would you be doing? And that made him think. And within a short time, he began to seek the Lord and be concerned about what is the real purpose of his living. And he sought the Lord, and he became a Christian. And so that man became a Christian through the witness of this lady, challenging what's the end purpose of his life. Hope is what gives us purpose. Otherwise, it really doesn't matter that very much what you do with your life. Hope. And so, my dear friends, if you don't possess hope, one of the things that would happen for sure is that you would never possess strength. Actually, nothing to let you look beyond this life. You will live as if we're just here. Just as Apostle Paul says, let's eat and drink and die, and it's over. Hope is the only thing that lets this life above the present. Hope is a precious thing. Dear Tosemienini and Yidaso, now scripture catcher and said, saying Yidaso, dear, you didn't need to, dear young coupon, akaso, say, obey it. A thing, so you said, young coupon, can't say, obey young qua. Dear, or the adrinko and conquer the obey us, or the we are say, but we are. It's answer, young coupon, akaso, the side we are, say, baby. So the bad, dear, now, or the baba, dear, dear, what sound, poichi. And in India, your dream will say, can you dare so? Now, the answer we hear is, and you dare so, a man of one day. Say, you dare so, and you are, you remember, Bray, and you cry. It's answer, I didn't crunch in a me. You see, if you call your bad time, you ensure me and Hona or Shelly Bana or Tin and even Fifri, no, yet they're being now, they say. They need a source. I want to crack, or they bear penny, no, no, I shall only be crack. I am what any Bussiano cramp. Nia, I also school. They need us and say, be a boot me a school that crow. Na, with me, I went to see a dear or father, the same head in there. And so the famous, it says, and they need us and say, bit me. They say, need us some of you to me, let you cheer home. Nay, ye ye be come. But say, need us when you are, ye near what you cry, ye the penny so. Yem per se, ye near your home, a good be dear. And Tiaka said, you don't say, I dear, when you say, if I do not have hope, well, life then becomes purposeless, and then everything ends up here. Oh, my dear friends, do you have hope? What do you rest your hopes upon beyond this life? Is everything here now? Should everything end here? Then you enjoy as much as you want, and that's all. But if there is For there is, scripture tells us, if there is life beyond this one, if there is a God to deal with, if we must one day stand before such a God, if there is a day Apostle Paul could call that day, then he that has no hope in that is really wasting away his years, isn't it? Do you have hope in that day? That single day when the Lord will bring everything to a close. This is true. The Lord Jesus Christ spoke about that so clearly. It is the most incontrovertible theme in the Bible. The Bible is so clear. This world, it will come to its end. And then God will usher in the new heaven and the new earth. Do I have hope? Can I look forward to that? Oh, I don't even think about that. People are so very busy. Very busy. You know the war that is going on in Ukraine. And one of these cities, I forget where it was, whether it was on the Ukraine side or the Russian side, I forget. But there was this man who was so busy doing his work. They brought in one of the news items. He was trying to sweep off the snow that had fallen on the street. He was so busy doing it. And then a journalist approached him and said that, "Sir, do you know that there's a war going on there?" He said, "No, I don't know anything." He said, "But haven't you heard about rumors about that?" "So I've seen some soldiers walking about, but I know they are only doing some training." And so, "You are not afraid?" "No, because I don't believe anything is happening." "Oh, right at your doorstep? You don't even know what is happening?" His head is so buried in his own present life, he cannot see what is happening around him. Now, my dear friends, if there's no hope, that such a life becomes, you are really enveloped in a very small life. Whether there's any future or not, you don't care. But the truth is, whether you care or not doesn't make the difference in terms of whether it happens or not happen. It will make a difference on you, but what God has said will happen will happen. Do you have hope, dear friends? Do you lift up your eyes above this one? Or you are entirely carried away by the present only, dear friends? Then that would be very sad. Do you have hope? And you dare say, so when you dare, so woman, when you cry, and she is abroad in the tree. They wish she had said, "Yeah, na me and abroad to say that." They said, "Yeah, yeah, yeah." Do not share with him. Na on to me, who name him cry. Do you want to keep to here? When name him say, "Yeah," and so what? So what? So yeah, that when name Baba is answering your coupon. No one can say Baba. Now let me get to the one the apostle calls the greatest. Verse 13 there again. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. The greatest of these. Why does the Apostle Paul call it the greatest? Dear friends, it is the greatest because without it, the other two are not genuine. If there's no love, the faith is not correct. If there's no love, the hope is not correct. Let me just, we don't often do that this in our gospel service. Let me just turn you to two texts of scripture just to liven ourselves up a bit. So Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6. Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. And you would see how the apostle connects them. So without love, these two cannot be genuine. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6. I didn't see Apostle Paul say, "Or don't need a year can say a thing in you now. Yes, it's a no end come one. Did you need it also in you now? And yet, Papa." Verse 6. "For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love." You see? You cannot have faith that doesn't work by love. I will explain that shortly. But that, then come with me again. See the other one also in Romans chapter 5 and verse 5. Romans chapter 5 and verse 5. "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." Why is hope possible? Because the love of God is poured into our hearts. Because God has put His love into our hearts. And so we are able to hope in Him also. So, you see, so genuine faith can, I beg your pardon, yes, a genuine faith cannot really be there if it doesn't bear love, if it doesn't have love in it. And so love is called the greatest of them all. And so it binds the others. All the three must be possessed together. Love keeps all of them together. Love. What is love? Everybody knows, everybody thinks he knows what love is, isn't it? Everybody thinks about love. One of the things I find so unfortunate is that, have you seen, I'm not asking you to go and listen to them, but I'm sure you may have heard some of them, whether when you were sitting in a vehicle or something like that, this is forced on you, or you were in some market or supermarket, and perhaps they are playing that music, and you heard something in that. And these musicians are always talking about love. And one of the things you know for sure is that they talk about it as if it's a kind of an imaginary thing which really surrounds the air. See, fills the air. Because one thing that is very true of a number of them is that they are never able to focus that love on any individual. They would always be faithless. They can't keep their promise. They have to keep breaking. And you see, they are talking about, because love is a feeling. It's a kind of a mood you are in. And it feels warm and it feels wonderful. It feels, but focus it on the real persons, it's a problem. And so you see, now, even though we may be the most wicked persons in the world, one of the wonderful things that God in His mercy has done is that because He created us in His own image, a measure of love is in every heart. Everybody has a measure of sympathy. A measure, at least. Love includes sympathy, I'm sure you know. At least a measure. The trouble is, until we are saved, until the Lord Jesus Christ changes us, we so woefully mix it with so much of self. And by, we spoil it all. What is love? We always, the Bible teaches that we cannot truly love unless we love God first. He pours love into our hearts. That pouring of love purifies that which we've lost because we are sinners. The self-centered aspect of it is taken away. And the form God Himself wanted it to be like is poured into our hearts. In one of the passages that the apostle was actually talking about, that which Christians have for their brethren. Of course, that's the same thing. He said that we know that we love our brethren when we love God and keep His commandment. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 2. You cannot truly love others. So you see, when presumably people can love somebody, express a love supposedly to them in a way that is in disobedience to God, it's a lie. It's a lie. But you see, in our corrupted heart, it all counts. It all counts as love. If that person is happy with it, and the other person is applauding it, okay, it's love. But the Bible insists that when love isn't it real, as God wanted it in hearts, it puts God first. It loves God first. And it seeks, because we love God, meaning we admire Him above all, we will obey Him above all, we will put Him first above all, we will listen to Him and believe in Him above all. And from that, we look upon that person, that fellow, and value him or her as first created in the image of God. It is that what bonds me, that makes me want to do whatever I can for that person's good. And I am persuaded, you say, love will say, I am persuaded that if God is against this kind of thing, He cannot do this person good. Even though he desires it, even though she wants it, if God says, no, this thing displeases me, I know it's not good for this person. You see, we have to be giving that. It's not natural. It hasn't come to us. That part of love is gone. We've all lost it because of sin. And so we don't possess that. So love puts God first. And through Him, as we relate to Him, relate to others as created in the image of God. And so for the sake of God, we value them. We treasure them. We respect them. We will do the very best we can. The very best within our possession. For they are good. As far as it is not against Almighty God. As far as it doesn't contradict His will. This is love. And this is what the Bible defines it, you see. And I'm sure it's very clear that it's uncommon. Isn't it? The love we know of is all emotions. And it's all self. It's just a little bit of willingness to do a little kindness here and there. The love of God has to be poured into our hearts. Friends, we cannot love until God's love is put into our hearts. And God's love is put into our hearts only when we come as needy sinners. And the Lord Jesus Christ saves us and He puts His own Spirit into our hearts. When His Spirit dwells in our hearts, then we can reflect His nature, something of Him, you see. If the Lord Jesus Christ is known for His love, we will be known for our love too, dear friends. Love is a precious thing, if it is a true one, if it is that which the Bible speaks about. Dear Tosini Odo, na eradia samseli na esuteni nina ni ebisase. Dentina scripture say no dear esuchei ningina esuchei jidie ni hidason. Yes it. It says so don't enkahua jidie no kre nye no kre. It says jidie ye no kre no or ye juma ewo domu. A fen sono se enidasono se enfri or dan yan kopo eshie egu ya kuma munua enye ni danso ye no kre ebedi enkwambo. But you dance any and come on the fat him, they say, young copon and Cassa with Shinu do Ebina Kumamu. And T. Emma Yetimidi and Nito Susan young copon, a big dinner samsons are. And T. An intro by Apostle Posse and India sitting in Yinano. Near so, or don't cry the day. You say, Nedia, in Confagios or day at Tinkabi Oma. It's like a young person says, it's become a common statement. I have feelings for him. You've heard that. So, young person say that. Love has a very powerful feelings. It does. Love is not a dry thing. But you see, it's not just bare feelings. Otherwise, it goes away anytime. I'm sorry to digress into this. This is why, for those people for whom love is a mere feeling, when the feeling is gone, the love is also gone. But if they discover the foundations of love, when the feelings are gone, they know how to revive the feeling. The feelings can always be revived if the foundation is intact. But the foundation is not there, when the feeling is gone, it's gone. You see? Because only a feeling. So they are thinking kuandia, so thinking a tikwa. Ini bibi asatiko. Nese ewo fapimbi dia. Eni dia ma thinking kuandin thinkono. Obetumi e Kenya imudio. Yase, wuntumi eno, se nyankupondo eni wakumumwa. Nia onna nyankupono, dia is offrano dono. Yaba fanu do dia. And so, honam Ephraim, honam etitahu. Inte manu ese inti do efri nyankopono hwie ni do egu yakoma mo emanye do no eye dia eye fe eye se dia nyankopan pese ye no na saa do no oye saa adwene ni modin bonu se obeye bibia ebeye mfaso ebe bibia ebobua ni onene ewo nkita e san se ohu son ni pakono se nyankopon abodia Yankopon of born, a new one Yankopon Suba Ewanum, in Temano Edinini, now only in Antitaudia, a senior Obunus say Yankopon and Oborn. Say, Yanman Yankopon Kanya, and Yadoman Crawford Crano, as say, son, sir. And the carbus, a guest in Pocony, ye be mammy answer. Yes, a da a free Yankopon Hono, on ye be beer and more beer. And so Yankoponi, said in Pokon, anything who say so on and so Yankoponi on yet, the son saying Yodua, son of the Edotia. Why is it a great possession? Friends, I just look at verse 2. And this is quite astonishing. Sorry. Why is love a great possession? Look at verse 2. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries, and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. In fact, the Greek is quite harsh. I am nothing. And of course, that's all that the English can translate it. In fact, the Greek literally means, I am neither he, she, or a thing. So if something is not he, she, or a thing, what is it? I don't know how you describe that. So that's the idea. If I do not have love, it is as if I'm neither he or she or even a thing. So that's all that our English can translate it. Nothing. I am nothing. It is true, my dear friends. If I do not possess love for God first, and through that love for others, I have nothing. I possess nothing. Everything around me will wither and die. And when this life is over, I go empty-handed. I really did nothing except to satisfy myself. That's all. I have nothing. I am nothing. Love, you see how precious it is. And look at verse 8, it says something else here. Verse 8. Charity never faileth. That's the first line there. Oso dohwe. Emiyam wasda. You know, friends, this is why I said that genuine love is no feeling. If it's feeling, what if it goes away? Love never fails. It's always there. If it is that love that is given to me by the Lord, it can always be revived. The seeds are always there. It can always germinate. It can always have new life. Love is a powerful thing. It never dies. It endures. Even it will be perfected in heaven. Faith and hope will work out together to perfect love. In eternity, love will always be there. If I do not have love, I have nothing. And as I said, it begins with love for God. Do you love God? Do you revere Him? Do you admire Him? Is your heart His? Do you say, I belong to Him? I dare not rebel against Him. I cannot sin against Him and go my way. Do you love Him? If you do not love Him, you won't really love people properly. Whenever you say you love them, there'll be something of self in it. Because there's something you gain for yourself. That's why you love that person. I'm not doubting there's a measure of love there because God has put it there so we can understand the language of love. But it's corrupted. It's defaced. It's lost its real beauty as it's supposed to be. Except when the Savior put His love there for us. Oh friends, you know, one of the things that move us to love, because you know, first, I'm not turning to that. First John says that often. One of the things that moves our hearts to love is when we ourselves have felt the love of Christ. You cannot really love unless you felt the love of Christ. How many times the Bible uses that as an argument to stir love in people who know the love of God, the love of Christ. You will never genuinely love unless you tasted the love of Christ. How He came down. I was willing to empty Himself and to bear the punishment for sin. I was willing to suffer on behalf of needy sinners. I was willing to let the Father put upon Him such eternal weight of punishment beyond that which anybody can describe, and to be willingly buried. You know, when the sight of that was shown Him in Gethsemane, and one part of Him said, Father, take away the cup. And yet another part of Him willingly, gladly, lovingly said, yet not my will, let your will be done. He was willing to drink the cup of the curse on behalf of needy sinners who would come to Him and how many times the Bible uses as an argument for love. You know why? The Bible is simply saying you cannot truly love unless you've tasted this love of Christ. Unless you yourself has come to taste what it is to be forgiven freely. What is it like to have yourself forgiven and washed and a new heart given to you? Not because of anything you have done, but because of what the Savior did. He bore the curse that the blessing may rest upon me. If you've never tasted this, dear friends, you have lost so much of the capacity for genuine love. And so, it is the greatest of possessions. Into the open friend of Dobia and a baby, one kasa, because we never be warm. You know, love is extremely selfless, I'm sure you know. Love never considers himself first, it's always the other person, if it would do him real good. Although, I'll share the idea, only in Yankee Tony said, Ben for Swam and Unquadia, obey. Now, yes, it's the radius of Christ and Ludon Yan Solshaya, Yan to me, and Noncroft, one kasa. Into Bible Tadi Casa said, and I'm saying, Radius Christo Abdos was our quincenti, Nayan Sien Domo. Into Chayan said, Radius Christo Dom, say Yankasian Sonshaya, Yin Timin Domcroft War. You remember that just said about his love that he was obedient unto death, you know that. And that was out of love for his father and out of love for us. When we love, we will be obedient to God. We will, as I said, genuine love will never let you do things for people that God will be displeased. You wouldn't do that. You know this will be a corruption of whatever you call love. It is a sham. It is a lie. It is a pretense. It is self that is putting on a garb, calling it love, but it's a lie. And a child of God wants to be a sincere person. You want to be genuine and relate to all people genuinely. Love is strong. Oh, friends, love is strong. I have to begin to close. Years ago, on the streets of Cape Coast, I was driving down there, and I saw a woman who was really struggling with her sister. She was struggling, at least on the, as you looked at that, that was what it appeared. She was struggling with her sister, trying to push her into a taxi. And this sister who was trying to push her sister into the taxi was receiving from the sister slaps on her face. So the sister who she's trying to push into the car was slapping this other lady, slapping her in the face, really, left, right, something like that. And she was still persistent in that. But as soon as you got closer, you heard what this lady was trying to push the sister into the car was saying. She was saying, "Should I leave you like that? Should I leave you like that to walk on the streets and really spoil yourself and spoil everybody?" Oh, so the problem was that this other sister was beginning to have mental problem. And she was going to walk on the streets, perhaps naked. And this sister couldn't bear it. She couldn't bear it. So she was holding into the taxi to take her to the mental hospital. And so even though she was receiving the slaps, she was saying, "I won't let you go. I won't let you go on the streets. I will still hold you. Do whatever you want to do with me, I will still take you to the mental hospital." Love knows where to take people. If you love people, you will take them to Christ. You see? If you are not the Lord's, you cannot genuinely love. You may take people to places, buy them things, which is nice, do it, if it does them some good. Genuine love will let you take them to the Lord. Because you are persuaded, He only can do them good. He only can, as I said, if you genuinely have the love of Christ in your heart, you say, "As long as I know God says this thing is hurtful, please, it doesn't matter how you don't understand me now, I'm not going to do it. Because I know it won't do you good. Presently, if I decide not to do it, call me, whatever, I know it won't do you good. By and by, one day, you will realize that it was wise I never gave you that, or I never did that for you." But my dear friends, if you do not know God yourself, And if you don't really treasure His will, if you don't have a heart that says, I must please God and honor Him, you see how you can't love? It's a very precious possession. And it's a test whether, if I say I have hope, I have faith, whether it's true. If the hope I claim to have doesn't have love, it's a lie. If the faith I claim to have doesn't have this love, it's a lie. And so the three go together, and love stands at the middle as that magnet holding all of them together. It's a very precious thing, my dear friends. Do you have a loving heart? Do you? Oh, dear friends, can I ask you, if you don't possess a loving heart, please, who are you then? Who are you? As the text is asking, who are you? You don't have love? You don't have this treasure, possession in your heart that makes you desire the best good in the eyes of God for others? And you don't love God? Dear friends, who are you then? Please, with all due respect, would you walk the street and be confident about something you do, something you achieve, and you don't have love? The Bible says nothing. Nothing. Useless. Nothing at all. How precious. But it's the Savior who pours it into our hearts. When we come to Him and we repent of our sins and we call upon Him to have mercy upon us, and He changes us and makes us new persons. He sends His Holy Spirit to dwell in my heart, and then He will give me this virtue, love. It will go first to God. I must love God, obey Him, do His will, and you will look upon people with very genuine respect. You will truly value people. You will truly respect. They won't come from what they do for you. They will come simply because you know, these are creatures of my Father. Because you're a Christian. If you become a Christian, these are creatures of my Father. Friends, I have to begin to close. I dare challenge people. See how people easily are taking bribes from people. See how easily, and we often say this with sorrow, the man who is sitting here and taking bribe from this poor woman who has come is far, far wealthier than this poor lady or poor young man who has come to seek his services. And no feeling at all, no sympathy at all. He must bring it before he does that small service. So this person isn't looked upon as a creature who needs some help, support, service, or whatever. No, he's simply a money machine. Oh, what a shame. You see, the root is we know not the love of God in our hearts. The love of God poured into our hearts by His Holy Spirit. What a blessing it is, my dear friends. I want you to leave this place and be concerned and ask yourself, do I really have a loving heart? And if I don't, who then am I? Who am I? And the Lord Jesus Christ invites you. Now come. He is the Lord of love. He is the one who is able to pour that love into your soul. Call upon Him. Cry to Him. Be concerned that your heart is in such a sad state. And ask Him to have mercy upon you. Trust in what He did on the cross of Calvary. He is the one who must work in your heart to make it new and make it different. Only He can do that. Nobody has that power, my dear. We are happy to point you to Him. We know we possess nothing to be able to help you in this. Only He does. Go to Him. Ask Him to have mercy upon you and to forgive you and change you. And when He's changed you, He will pour His love into you. And you will have genuine faith. And your hope will not be a lie, because it will be honored. They say, the radius of Christian economy to me, that do you be a common own to have an inchain. No, I best send so who some of them. Now, on you, no more sell common or. I'm going to say, she no do a gumumu. And yes, sir. She says, we need do a kumamwa. I said, listen, when you need dear in cry, say in the Bible, you be sir.
Nti wo ni dokura wo yɛ deɛ na ma ni hia
nka wa bɛ Awurade Yesu Kristo hɔ sɔ because ɔno nkɔ no bɛtumi hwie saa bene gu wakoma mu ma wo ni wa bɛ Nyankopɔn ba nka sɛ ne de afei no wo gyidie no ɛbɛyɛ nokorɛ onyi daa sɔ no ɛnyɛ ano kasa ara ɛbɛyɛ nokorɛ ne Awurade bɛhyɛ no ma da koro.